I got my little print Bible. I can kind of read it, but I'm like, good seeing you. You get my text this week? I texted you guys.
I did, and I'm sorry. I was so busy when I got it, and then I forgot until this morning.
That's okay. Yeah, it's going better. Stand up. Yeah, tell them. Tell them that. Hey, you want to hear a good report? Remember a couple weeks ago we prayed with Victoria? Tell them how you've been doing. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
We can pray. We can believe. God does all the healing and gets all the glory. Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to teach on faith today. You can roll the tape. Cue the tape. I'm going to teach on faith today, but I'm going to pray first. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, there's so many people here that I wanted to see, and they're here today. And it really makes me happy. And I'm glad for that. Lord, help me to give a word in season. Charlie and I were praying last night about the sons of Issachar and having a word in season or knowing the times that we live in. And Lord, I just pray a word that will help your people. These are your people, Father. And I'm here helping out, but I just pray you speak to each person. You know where we're all at in our walk with you. You know what we need. Some probably need saved. Some need healed. Some need encouraged. Some need perseverance. They all have a different need and a different situation. Some need some joy, Lord. And I just pray whatever your people need, Lord, through the word and by the Holy Spirit, you bring it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And help me do it. All right, so I am encouraged to see all y'all. Got a good turnout today and all y'all. And yeah, definitely some people I've been thinking about. I saw you slip in today, and that's really encouraging for me because, you know, if you're not here, I guarantee you I'm praying for you. That's for sure. That's just great to see you. So it's good. Wasn't that cool having the kids do the jingle bells?
Yeah.
Why can't we do that in July? You know, or do something. Yeah, shoot off, have little sparklers or something. That's good. Since the kids are worshiping with us, we need to make it interesting for them. Hey, and by the way, if you want to pray for me before service, there's a sign up out front. Go ahead and sign up on the Connect desk out there if you want to pray for me. I love you guys praying for me. I need prayer, so I appreciate that. So, hey, this is the last week, or you won't be able to sign up again until next year. So, okay. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. And I've been going to ease into this. I may get excited somewhere in this message. I don't know, but I'm going to ease into it. I've been really thinking about faith, and I was in bed the other night about 3 a.m, and I woke up and I put on a podcast, and the preacher was talking about faith, and he said something that disturbed me so much, I couldn't sleep anymore. I got out of bed, and I started praying and asking the Lord about what he said about faith, and then I was studying the Bible, and a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about faith, and it depends on where you go to church, what they might say about it. Some people think that the only prayer there is saying, God, if it be your will, and throw it up to God, whatever God decides, that's what you get. And Jesus prayed one time that we know of where he prayed, he said, God, if it be your will, right? So he was going to the cross, and he didn't want to go, okay? He was sweating great drops of blood because he didn't want to go. So he was saying, God, if there's a way out of this, I want out. But if it be your will, I'll do it. That's a prayer of consecration. But rarely, I can't think of another time where Jesus prayed that way. In fact, even when people came to Jesus, rarely did he even pray. What did Jesus do? I'll have you guys participate with me today. What did Jesus do when people came for something? And then what did he do? He just spoke to them and said, be healed, rise up, get up, do this. He broke bread, he blessed it and passed it around and multiplied. He commanded, he spoke the word of faith. And what's amazing, and that's amazing, but what's even more amazing is that his disciples did the same thing. When Peter prayed for Dorcas, he went in and prayed. He turned and he said, get up. told Tabitha, Tabitha, arise. Same thing that Jesus did. They were taught and trained by Jesus to do the same thing. It's amazing, really. But when we think about faith, and I hear one preacher talk about another preacher, and I listen to other preachers, so I try to see what they're preaching, what they believe. And I come to my Bible, I'm always left with the sense that there's a lot more to faith than we've ever got our hands on. And there is a mystery to faith. If I went across this room and I asked you, how many of you have ever prayed and you just knew God was going to answer your prayer and he did? You'd say, yeah, that happened. How many of you ever prayed for somebody and you really believed he was going to answer, but it didn't happen in the way that you thought it was going to happen? You ever? Me too. And how many of you ever wanted to pray for somebody, you wanted to believe, or even for yourself, but you just struggled with uncertainty and doubt? I know I'm the only one, or just a few of us here, right? Faith is, in one sense, there is a mystery to faith, but in the other sense, it's not that complicated. And at the end of my message, I'm going to talk about how to build faith and grow in faith, but I want to talk about encounters. And my point I'm going to make, I want to talk about three encounters Jesus had with people. And what you notice, every encounter is different that Jesus had. Now, Charlie, was Jesus ever different? Just consistent. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not change. So Jesus was never different. He had God with him. He had the Spirit without measure, the Word says. Okay, so what we're going to find out, it wasn't Jesus that was different. It was the people that came to Jesus, how they came to Jesus, what they said, what they were believing oftentimes. It's how they interacted with Jesus. And so let me read a story, and I hope to, at the end of my message, I hope you leave with a sense of grace. I really do. I've heard preachers preach faith such as, you know, like they just tell you, try a little harder, believe a little harder, grit your teeth a little more, and try to believe. And I've seen people confess stuff for years and years, and I have rarely seen when people just speak, unless there's really faith there, it's almost like a ritual you're doing. Now, if you really have faith, like the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and he persisted. And even when things were becoming more and more unlikely in the natural that he would ever get what he wanted, his body was as good as dead. That means he couldn't have kids. He was past the age of having kids. But God made Abraham a promise, and the Word says that Abraham grew stronger and stronger in faith all the time. He just kept, God made him a promise, and he believed it. He wasn't saying it so he would make it happen. He was confessing his faith in God because he believed what God said, so he continually spoke out what God was going to do for him. He did not weaken in his faith. He grew stronger and stronger in his faith. But, you know, I've heard preachers preach that they try to tell you, believe. How many of you have ever just wanted to believe and you fell short of believing? All right? You really want to believe. And you know what, folks? I want to believe. When I lay my hands on you, and I'm actually expecting, when I lay hands on you, I am expecting for God to do something. When I'm praying this week, I won't go into the details, but I prayed like it was, Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. God, someone in the church is kind of involved in this. I won't tell all the details of it, but I prayed specifically for something, and I said, God, I don't know how you will do this, but this is what I want to do. And I can't do it unless you come through for me. And I prayed a specific prayer to God, and I kind of went about my business, and I forgot about it. And when I came home that night, Pam talked to me and said, hey, Brad, and she shared something with me. God had answered my prayer very specifically, and it kind of blew me away because I prayed about it. I asked God for it, and by the time I went to bed, I had it. And it wasn't something that was going to happen on its own. And to be honest, I forgot about it. And I said, wow, Lord. I said, how many times do we want something from God and we just don't ask God? Or we pray and we don't expect to get from God what we're praying for? And I was really encouraged. I've had a couple prayers just this week, things that I've asked God for. I went into my prayer closet and I said, Father, this is what I want. I'm asking you for this. And he gave me exactly what I asked for. Isn't that exciting? I often say the reason that we don't pray oftentimes, and I've made this point before and it's true. If you really believe, now be honest, that God was going to answer your prayers, really, like, okay, if I said to you, your next five prayers get answered. When you leave here today, next, get in your prayer closet, got to get home to your prayer closet, and when you pray those next five prayers, they're going to get answered. How many of you would rush home? You'd rush home. You would go straight home and say, God, this is what I want. But you know, the Bible is full of promises from God that says he will answer our prayers one after another. And it's exciting. And so in these encounters that Jesus has with people, we know the problem is never with God. The problem is never with his word. But we as human beings in need of God's grace are involved in a great process of grace, a great process of transformation and growth. And I think the one thing, I wouldn't beat you up if you pray for something and it doesn't happen. And yet I wouldn't beat anybody up for that, okay? I'd tell you to get back up and go again. But what I would rebuke you for gently is if you're apathetic, if you don't pray, if you don't persist, if you don't continue to ask. The Bible says ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking. If you're not asking, and you know my prayer, this prayer that God answered, I think both of them, the prayer that God answered wasn't even for me. I asked God for something for somebody else, you know. And I went in and said, because if you got everything you need, it's nice to go in and pray for somebody else and say, God, do this for this person. And if we really believe it, would keep on. So it's not wrong if somehow you're struggling or you don't get your prayers answered or things don't happen. But if you're apathetic about it or you're in unbelief and you don't pray, I would rebuke you. I would say, hey, that is not the life that Jesus has called you to. He's called you to be persistence, right? He's called you to be persistent. Sometimes things don't happen in a minute. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't happen in a minute. He wants us to ask and keep on asking. Or if we fail, he wants us to get back up. How many of you, when you were young, you got on that bicycle the first time you just drove away on it? No training wheels, right? Just got up on that bicycle and drove. No, you had to learn what it was like to ride that bike, and you have no experience, so you're learning. You're balancing it out, and you're trying to figure it out, and you fall a few times. You got those training wheels that bounce back and forth. That's the kind I had. They bounce both ways. They were wobbly. And eventually you get tired of them and turn them up. Or our walk with God is just like that. We have to grow. So these encounters, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus, we're going to show you three different encounters. And I want to encourage you. And my point and my purpose today is that you will pray. And that you'll pray big prayers. Because you are God. There is no limitation on God. God says everything. Charlie, everything is everything. God said everything is possible to the person that believes. Everything. That means everything. Your kids that are lost, it is not impossible for God to save them. You said they have a free will. I believe God is strong enough to convince your kids to follow Jesus. If he has to knock your kids off a horse and say, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting, if you persist in prayer, I believe he'll do it. We're going to get here. We will get here. Matthew chapter 8. Norval Hayes shared a story, which I've shared before. I'll share again. It's a good story. You didn't all hear it. He was praying for his daughter, and God told him to correct his love walk. He said, I didn't ask you to be the Holy Spirit to your daughter. I asked you to love her, and I want you to love her unconditionally. And she had grown up, and she was raised. She wasn't if you got kids, they need whipped sometimes. Paddled on their butt, right? They need trained. There's nothing wrong with that. They need to stand in the corner, go to their room. You don't want to spoil them. But she had gone already and moved. So God said, she's too old to spank. You can't put her in the corner. I just want you to love your daughter. And he did. He made her a pie. And he started, and she'd say things to him. He said he'd bite his lip. You know, he'd be like, she'd sass back to him and mouth off to him. He'd bite his lip and think, bless you. Bless you, honey. Jesus loves you. Have a pie, you know. I know what that's like. Trust me. We know what that's like to bite your lip and say, God bless you. But he persisted and he prayed and he prayed and he kept praying, calling God and calling her saved and calling her before the throne of God. And I don't know how long it was, but after a time, one day she went to bed and she woke up and she had a huge angel standing at the foot of her bed. And I'm going to cuss, but I'm going to cuss literally. What happened? She said, that angel scared the hell out of her. Literally scared the hell out of her. She ran to her dad's room and said, "Dad, there's some man standing at the foot of my bed." He said, "It's an angel." And she got saved on the spot. And Zona Hayes is a preacher to this day. Her and her husband go all around the world preaching the gospel to this day. If he hadn't prayed, if he hadn't been in fellowship with God, who was going to stand between heaven and hell for his daughter? You think anybody could pray for your kids like you can pray for your kids? Does anybody care about your kids like you care about your kids? Nobody does. He had to persist and he had to continue to walk in love toward his child because that's God's way. The love way is God's way. And again, if those kids are little, go ahead and spank them. Amen. Someone say amen. You'll know. I remember when my daughter was too old to spank because I said, "Jessica, bend over. You're getting a whipping." And she bent over and I spanked her like two or three, and she started laughing and I started laughing, and that was the last time I ever spanked her. It was done. The gig was up. Sometimes you just know, this is over. This ain't going to work anymore. I said, "Just get out of here. I don't want to see you. Get out of here." Praise the Lord. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, when he, Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy, it could be a skin disease, but it's the same Greek word, leprosy, came down and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I love how Jesus touches people. He's a God of contact. He said, "I'm willing. Be clean." Immediately, because Jesus is awesome, he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded you as a testimony." Now, this verse of scripture is, if you're a student of the Bible, this verse of the scripture is packed. First of all, in the book of Leviticus, there was actually a ceremony. I think it's Leviticus 13 and 14. Leprosy was a curse. And if you had leprosy, you were under a curse. There was nothing good about leprosy. But there was a way you could offer sacrifices, and you would offer those sacrifices, and it would spill blood, and you would go to the priest. And the priest would check you out. You'd wait 7 days, and he would pronounce you clean. So Jesus is the priest, okay? And he's bringing the healing. And he's telling the guy, "You're clean. Go give your gift to Moses." Isn't that amazing? I love Jesus. He's so cool. Go give your gift to Moses. But not only that, when the guy approached Jesus, he didn't approach Jesus in a cavalier way. This guy approached Jesus and he got on his knees and he worshiped Jesus. He had a respect for, he knew who he was dealing with, the author of life. Jesus had the power of life and death in him, and he knew he was approaching somebody that he should respect and reverence. But what's interesting about this guy is he did not know the will of God, did he? Did he? He said, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I think a lot of times that is right there where we're at. We have indecision. We have doubt. We're not sure what exactly is the will of God. And so we struggle and we doubt. And Jesus cleared it up with this guy, the first guy. He said, "I am willing. I am willing. Be clean." So all the confusion about whether he wanted to heal somebody or bless somebody in this situation is gone, and Jesus met the guy. And here's the point to take away today. Jesus met this guy, Charlie, right where he was at. He didn't know if it was God's will. Jesus told him the will of God. Jesus pronounced the cure, and the guy was healed. This is exciting. Because oftentimes, folks, if we don't know the will of God, how can we find the will of God? I'm asking, you can talk to me. Prayer is one way, absolutely. Prayer is absolutely one way to find the will of God. How else can we know the will of God? By the Word of God. If Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, 8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He sent His Word to us and gave us His Word, we can go to His Word, and of course you have to rightly divide it. You can't go back under the law and try to put people under curses. When the Bible tells you in Galatians 3:10 that you're not under a curse, that Jesus bore the curse for you, you have to rightly divide the word, but the truth of God's word is right there for us to study and meditate on. and think about. We can go. Then you can pray and say, God, this is your word. You said in your word in Psalms 103 that you took all my diseases. You bore my pains and you took my diseases. You carried them all away. Lord, I'm coming to you and I am believing you for this because you have expressed it. You said you're willing. Didn't he say that? He did say it. I could go on and on, but I don't want to just I'm not going to make this about one thing. But when you know the will of God, you can go and say, Jesus. And you'll see it later on, this next guy, he's at a whole different place. First guy doesn't know the will of God. So he goes to Jesus. Folks, sometimes we got to go to God and pray and say, God, what is your will? Sometimes we know the will of God because we can go to the Word and find it. And often, we'll talk about that too, the third guy, we'll get into that. But often we struggle. Because we say, here's the thing, does God really mean what he says? I've been disappointed, I've prayed, I haven't had my prayers answered. Does God really mean this? And we get in this ground where we believe he does, where he believe he doesn't. We have to get to the place where we know the will of God. Second guy, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking him for help. He said, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and he's terribly suffering. Jesus is going to be consistent all through the Gospels. He says, I'll go and heal him. Then he said, Lord, I don't deserve that you would even come under my roof. Another guy that respects Jesus. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, and I have people under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes. And I say this to my servant, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel, this guy was a Gentile, that has such great faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subject of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. Just as you believed it would. Now this guy here knew who Jesus was. He honored Jesus, but he also believed. He knew. He said, Jesus, if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus was astonished because he was a Gentile, and he said that there will be people come. And I used to wonder what this scripture meant, people coming from the east and the west. He's talking about Gentiles. There's going to be people coming from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they're going to come into the kingdom of God, and Abraham's going to be their father. That, folks, is all of us right here, unless there's a Jewish person in here. We are all a fulfillment of that prophecy of Jesus. Everyone here is one of those Gentiles that came from the east and the west and the north and the south, and we're now all in the kingdom. He said the subjects of the kingdom, the Jewish people, were going to be thrown out because we know the story. They crucified, except for the remnant, they crucified Jesus and they rejected their Messiah, and the gospel came to us. So this second guy knew the will of God, honored Jesus, and said, I know, and Jesus said, it'll be to you just like you believe. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. It'll be to you just like you believe. I was praying the other day, and I just felt like, I said, Lord, what is belief? Because oftentimes I'll see something in the Bible, and I'll attempt to believe it. I'll try to believe it. I want to believe it. I'm stretching for it. I'm pressing toward it. I want it. And I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me that real believing, you know when you're believing, believing is a consciousness. Believing isn't a hope or I think so. Believing is a consciousness. Believing is you knowing exactly what God will do. It's a consciousness. Jesus said over and over to people, he said, be it to you according to what you believe. When we believe God or we have a consciousness of faith, it's automatic. There's no struggle to believing. What you really believe is how you're going to act. Those guys that dropped that guy through the ceiling that was paralyzed, they would not have dropped that guy through the ceiling if they had not believed. That was their faith on display. And I want to submit to you that me and you, all of us here, what we really believe is going to be in our consciousness, and what we really believe, we're going to act on it and we're going to speak it. What you really believe. I remember a guy in Newark, a wonderful guy, cared for the poor, loved people. He said, Brad, he says, people only act on or only are changed by what they really believe. This guy really believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and Jesus was going to do exactly. And in all our struggles, and again, I'm going to offer tons of grace here at the end of this message for all of us. I want to offer tons of grace. Whenever I preach faith, I want to have that. But all of us, we're at some place with God, some relationship with God, where we have a certain true belief about God, what he will do and what he won't do. Absolutely. And we're walking according to it. Isn't that amazing? You are right where you're at. The Word of God says, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us, right? We are where we're at right now in our walk with God because of the value we put on our relationship with God, our personal experience with God, how we've progressed this far, and we're all in growth. In fact, Lester Sumrall, they once asked him, they said, what's faith, Lester Sumrall? What is faith? You have great faith. This guy moved into supernatural. They said, what is faith? He said, faith is knowing God. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say today, write that down and remember it. Faith is knowing God. Not thinking God's a certain way, not wondering if God's a certain way, not even hoping God's a certain way. Faith is knowing God. It's knowing exactly what God will do, what he won't do, who he is as a person. The more we know God, the more we walk in God's faithfulness, the closer we get to God, and the more we know God, there's more interaction in our life, more miracles, more things are happening. And I heard a man say, said it many times, we have as much of God in our life as we want. I want to ask you, I'm going to look at all of you, kind of, do you believe that? Who believes that? How could it be any other way? You have, and I have, as much of God in my life as I want. I can be as close to God because God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than you. He doesn't love you more. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loves you. You're his child. I'm his child. He's not going to respect me anymore. So I can't have any more of God than you can or anybody in this place. The reason some folks seem to have a connection with God is they value that relationship. And you talk about what makes a good marriage, husbands and wives. What makes a good marriage? I'll make this practical. What makes a good marriage? Okay, we've got a lot of things. Communication. You're not going to get very far if you and your wife aren't talking. You ever get couples get mad? What do they do? What's one of the first things they do? They stop talking to each other. Ever had your wife or your husband roll over on you at night? Who's never done that? Just roll over. They're going, oh, Pam. No, praise the Lord. So I ain't going there. I ain't going there. I'm done. No, you quit talking. You don't get very far with your spouse if you're rolling over all. The more you roll over, the worse your marriage is going to be ultimately. What else? What else is a sign of a good relationship with your spouse or even a friend, anybody? If you're not married, a friend. What's a sign of a good relationship? Respect. You honor that person and you respect them. You respect their wishes. You respect who they. What else? What makes a good relationship? Spending time with them. Right? Spending time with that person. If you get married and you're married for 1 week and your husband goes away for 5 years, good luck. Right? You better. Now, if you're married 5 years and you build a great relationship with your spouse and they go away for a year, you can probably survive it. You're married for a week and your husband goes away for a year, you're going to have some trouble. Okay, something can falter. So give me something else. So you got respect, you got spending time. What else? How do you have a great relationship? Trusting that person, listening to that person. So all these things that we already know make a great relationship. I want you to look at yourself. How are you with God? How are we with God? What's your trust like with God? How much time do we spend with God? How often do you get mad at God? Anybody ever get mad at God? Yes. You get mad, like, yeah. How many times have you rolled over on God? Put your back to God. I did it for 10 years once. No, faith is knowing God. It's not just, see, theology and just preaching just in general, theology is knowing about God. And I study theology. You want to know theology if you're a pastor. I like theology, but theology is knowing about God. Faith is knowing God. Faith is knowing that what God said, he'll do. And when God makes you, I got promises that I'm becoming more and more bold. I am refusing not to believe God for things that he's spoken to me in his word and in my heart. I'm getting more and more determined. God is not a liar. It is impossible for God to lie. And if he spoke it and he's demonstrating, and I notice the closer I get to God and the more fine-tuned I am hearing him, things crystallize and I'm obeying him more and more, things turn out just the way that God said that they'd be, even if it doesn't happen, Pam, in a day. I want to read this last story because I want to leave us with some hope today about our faith. If I just told you to have more faith, folks, it's impossible for you just to have more faith. You got to spend some time with the Lord. You got to walk with God. You know, you might, if you are 55 years old and you've never once asked God to heal your body or trusted God, and then someone came to you and told you that you had the big C word, how much faith do you think that you would have for God to heal you? You've never trusted God. You've never walked. You've never cultivated a relationship. And you get catastrophic news and says, you have cancer. First thing that's going to happen is we're going to have fear. We're going to be scared to death because we don't know what God thinks about it. We don't know what we think about it. We've never experienced God in that way. The best thing you do is go run, try to spend some time with the Lord. It's going to strike fear in your heart. Let me say this about that. First of all, you have nothing to fear. Becky's sitting over here, multiple, and she does it. I tell you, whether Becky was healed or not, and she's had treatments, and she's doing great today. She's doing wonderful. She's been through a lot. But I never saw Becky with any fear, because even if her prayers weren't answered, she knew God, and she knew she's going to heaven. And she wasn't worried or anxious or concerned about it. In fact, I think you were probably ready. Whatever. That's why it's whatever. Whatever. And I'm going to add to that thought when we talk about getting our prayers answered. Let me read this in Mark chapter 9. Where do I start, Lord? Okay, let's go verse 14, Mark chapter 9. I'm coming to a conclusion. Jeff, is it hot in here? We got to make sure it's a little cooler because people get tired when it's hot. I have to scream and stuff if I want to keep them awake. I'll scream here in a minute. Wait till next week. Okay. When they came, this is Mark 9:14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. I love it. They're having a theological debate. Does God heal or doesn't he? What's going on? Why aren't our prayers getting answered? Why are you guys praying for people? Why are you following Jesus? They're in a great heated theological debate. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. And Jesus said, why are you arguing? And what are you arguing about? And a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes with his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but, everybody say with me, they could not. I had a situation this week. A lady called me, I went over to pray for her, and it was a spirit. Some of you probably would never know when someone has a spirit. You don't have that experience. But I prayed for her, and that spirit left her. Amen? And she immediately, first of all, she had given place to fear. She was full of fear. And she's a believer in the Lord, and she was full of fear. And she was full of worry. and she had opened the door. That wasn't God that was putting fear on her. It wasn't God that was putting worry. She had opened the door to fear and worry. And I'm expecting a great testimony from her. I'll share it with you when everything materializes. They could not. And Jesus said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? And how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. That's exactly what happened when I began to pray with this woman. She immediately started shaking and going into, I don't think she didn't flop on the floor. She immediately started going into convulsions the minute I started praying for her. And I knew what was going on. Probably about 2 minutes of prayer, totally calmed down and said she felt peace. So whatever was bothering her had left her. Fell to the ground and rolled foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, and this is what I love this part about Jesus. He's so cool. So most of us, hey, if we go to pray for somebody and they topple on the ground and they start foaming at the mouth, we're like, call 911. Or call, you know, call Evelyn. Get somebody up here that knows what they're doing, you know. That's when you first encounter demonic spirits, that's what you'll do. You'll start praying with someone, and their eyes roll to the back of their head, and they fall over. Somebody call the hospital. Call the squad. I love this about Jesus. This young man starts foaming at the mouth. His eyes probably roll in the back of his head. He falls over, and Jesus just turns to the dad and said, "How long has he been like that?" Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you ever really read the Bible, it's really cool. Jesus is one cool, collected. You think Jesus was nervous? I've gotten nervous before, Charlie. I got way in over my head. I'm like, Lord, is there someone else besides me that can pray with this person? Jesus says, how long has he been like this? The father says, from childhood. This thing throws him in the fire. It tries to kill him. He says, and I love this. He said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can. Jesus is saying, where's the problem? Everything is possible for her who believes, or him. Now, I love this. This is so human, and I want you to hear this. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What a great prayer. Jesus had mercy on him, saw the crowd run, and he rebuked the evil spirit. He commanded the deaf and mute spirit out. I command you, come out of him. Never enter him anymore. And then the spirit shrieked. You ever had a shrieker, Charlie? Convulsed him violently and came out. And the boy looked like he was dead, like he was a corpse. And people said, isn't this amazing? How would you feel if you prayed for somebody, they fall over and everybody says, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and stood him up. Then his disciples came to him privately and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, this kind comes out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In Matthew, he says, because of your little faith or because of your unbelief. Same story, gives a little different answer on it. It's really good. Because of your unbelief. So here's what I want to bring out about this. First of all, the guy didn't know the will of God. Obviously, he says, if you can do anything. And Jesus turned it right back around like the first one, and he said, the problem isn't if I can do anything. And folks, I want to submit to you, our problems in our life, the situations we encounter, whether they're little or small, are never whether God, we say God's omnipotent, he's all powerful, he can do anything. The problem is never what God will do or what he can do. The problem is always, what are we really believing God will do? What he really will do in my situation. Does God care about me? Does he care about my situation? And there's more. As disciples, we have authority. We'll get into more and more of that. He said, that's not the problem. He says, what are you believing me to do in your life? What do you want from me? You know, Jesus walked up to people all the time, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you want from me? And he did it. Some people, like, they act like, we just serve God. It doesn't matter what he does for me. Now, we're pretty helpless people a lot of times. We need God to do a lot of things. I would serve God. I love God. But if God and I didn't interact and have a relationship, that would just be a religion. God's good. And he'll ask you all the time, what do you want from me? And he wants us to answer. And he wants us to trust. And he wants us to believe. And he wants us to ask, seek, and knock. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship from us. And then this guy said, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling. Now, is anybody here believing but struggling? Come on. Come on. Now, sometimes there are... That second guy, and you don't have to. You might not be struggling. That second guy in our story wasn't struggling. He had a relationship with God. He knew what God would do. He spoke it. Jesus did it. Abraham didn't get his prayers answered, waited years. Abraham didn't struggle. His faith got stronger and stronger, stronger and stronger, and he believed God. But we're all different. And every time God encounters us, I may have great faith today in believing God, and you could see me next week, and I may be struggling. I may be beat down one too many times, and I may be struggling and need your prayers. And so God is saying to us, he says, what do you believe me for? And then this man called out to Jesus and said, hey, I believe, would you help me? Do you know Jesus wants to help us? He wants to help us. He wants to help us with our unbelief. He wants to help us in every situation of life. And he offered this man grace. And he, boom. Now, and he healed the boy, cast the demon out of the boy and healed the boy and sent him on. Now, some people could say, well, if Jesus had never healed that boy, there would be a theological question whether it was God's will, wouldn't there? Because they were debating it. The theologians were arguing with the disciples. And they'd still be debating today. But Jesus came and settled it. It was God's will. We just failed. Then he even told them later why they failed. And then he encouraged them, pray and fast. What he's encouraging them, guys, dig deeper. Get to know me better. Press into my kingdom. Learn to expect more. And I don't believe we will ever in our life, this great vision of faith or who we could be or who God's made us, I don't believe we may never get to where we think we should be. But our life is constantly about this relationship with God and pressing for more and more. You are children of God. We are children of God. God has his hand on you. God has his spirit in you. God owns you. You are safe and secure. You can get up and ride on that bicycle and fall 10 times. And God, your loving, patient Father, will just say, get back up on this bicycle and ride again. Go again. Go again, go again, go again. When you're stretching out and learning to believe God, you may have a setback. You don't give up on God. And here's my point. This is what I really wanted to make. God, he said over and over, be it to you according to your faith. God will meet you right where you're at. There are some people we have prayed, and I don't see Joyce here today. We have prayed for Bob, and Bob's had treatment, and we've got a wonderful report from Bob. And he's going through treatment to a doctor, and the doctor, and we've got great testimonies from Bob. There's other people we prayed for, and they were just instantly healed. For whatever reason, their miracle came. But I want to tell you that whatever your situation is in life, God will meet you right where you're at. If whatever faith, Jesus talked about faith being a mustard seed or having a measure of faith. The Bible says God gave to every man a measure of faith. If you have a measure of faith, then you have to do something with it. If you have a mustard seed of faith, then you have to do something with it. We are supposed to be fruit-bearing Christians and growing. God is never slamming us or knocking us down because we don't believe. He always wants to extend grace, but he wants us as children of God to grow. And if he just wanted you to grow for your sake, you'd get saved and you'd go straight to heaven. Our troubles and our trials and a lot of these things happen to us in life. And on the devil's side, he is trying to take you out. He wants you separated from God because he hates God and he hates you. And he wants to take you out. But on God's side, every trial, every tribulation is supposed to bring you closer to God. I don't know much about God, but I got in trouble. And I was walking on the water and I started to sink and Jesus came and grabbed me. He says, why did you doubt? We need to try this again. Every trouble, every trial. Paul said it was his weakness that God was exalted in. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, when you're weak, I'm very strong. Don't let go of me. The weaker you are, the stronger I can be in your life. Paul was beaten three times with 40 lashes. Jesus just got it once. Paul got it three times. Paul was stoned multiple times. Paul was left for dead. You could go on and on of all the tribulation. And you start reading Paul, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. Read about everything that Paul went through. And every time he got back up because he had a vision of Christ in me. Christ in me. I can't fail. It's so amazing. All these things he went through. And he said, everywhere I go, God causes me to have victory. There's an aroma around me. Everywhere I go, I have victory. And it wasn't for lack of trials. I was shipwrecked three times. I was stoned. I was left in the water for dead. All these things, he says, none of them move me. What moves me is Jesus and what he's and my faith in him. So your light, temporary affliction is working for you a far more exceeding weight of glory. I love sports. I do. I try to keep it in balance, because I don't want to be a fanatic and get all, you know, possessed by entertainment and sports. But I love sports because I love seeing people dig and compete. I love seeing people be challenged. I like seeing people rise to the top. I love it when someone doesn't quit. I ran a little boy yesterday. Him and I had a grudge match. He was a sixth grade boy. I beat him by 2 seconds at the turkey trot, and he wanted revenge, and I gave him his opportunity. Do you think this 60-year-old man was just going to let him win? There ain't no way. You gotta see me. He got ahead of me and I was gunning for him. That little guy, I got him on video. That little guy crossed the finish line literally puking. And I'm barreling down on him, like me, no bet, Brad, barreling down on him. Just let him win, Brad. No way. No way. But you know what? He earned it. That guy beat me. And he about I love that because he was going after it. He wasn't quitting and he wasn't giving up. That's a metaphor. That's a metaphor. I don't know what you're going through. God has stuff in his word for you. God wants to talk to you in your prayer closet. There's some things that some of you are facing that I don't know what to do about. If Jesus were here, he'd know exactly what to do. I don't always know what to do about things that people are going through. I pray for you. I'm believing God, but God will talk to you. God will give you grace. God, here's my good news, folks. Yeah, we want to have faith. I want to be like Smith Wigglesworth. We're going to see more people being healed. I believe that. We're going to see more power. We're going to see more anointing. We're going to see greater things. The Bible says that we could do the same things that Jesus could do, and either God's a liar. He's not, is he? I shouldn't even say that. He's not, or we can't do them. Right? We can. He said we can do greater things. But folks, why we're here, we're not giving up. You're not giving up. I'm telling you, you're not right now. You're not giving up. You don't have permission to give up. You have a resurrection spirit inside of you. When that thing gets whacked down, it won't stay down. The spirit that's in you is the spirit of God. And even though you want to quit, the spirit that's in you will not let you quit. Every time you have a setback, Jesus, if he's in you, is going to want to bounce back up. And sometimes that's what you're fighting. I don't want to bounce back up. I don't want to resurrect. I don't want to. I'm done. I'm through. I quit. And all of a sudden, something inside you says, get up again. But you don't know what I did. You don't know how I'm living. You don't know what I've been doing. That spirit inside of you, the spirit of grace, says, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Because God will never fail you. He'll never forsake you. And he'll never let you down. Grace, I got so much I could say about it. Grace is what God has already done for us. Faith is our vehicle to receive it. It's all free. It all belongs to you. And God doesn't want you giving up until you have everything that he's promised he wants to give you. And that's a fact. Someone say amen and I'll stop. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Go home and read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, and you see what Brother Paul went through, and then compare your trials to his. I was thinking about that today, and I said, God, thank you. My trials, the things that I'm going through, are so small and insignificant compared to what this man went through. What grace he had. God, I want to finish everything that you've given me to do. Amy, do you have a song? It's 11:57. So I'm going to give a call to the front of the altar for grace today. And if you're wobbling, and weaving and buckling and giving up, and you want a touch from God today, I want you to come down and receive it while we worship, before we dismiss. And folks, if you don't know that that resurrection spirit of Jesus is inside you, and I'm not trying to embarrass you or put you on the spot, we all have one thing in common. We're all born sinners and apart from God. And at some point in our life, we got to receive Jesus and get our sins forgiven. So God will put his spirit inside of you. So you're in right relationship with God. That's just the beginning. That's the doorway in, Terry. That gets you in. You're in the kingdom. Boom. And you got this big old area called the kingdom of God that God gives us to walk in, that we can grow in it. If you don't know the Lord, while we stand up and worship God, please stand up. While we stand up and worship God, come on down to the front. I want to pray with you, or you just need a touch of grace. You want to get a kickstart today and start over. The altar is open. Pammy and I will be here.